Nate Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back.
You either go to church.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Wednesday, August 31st, last day of August 2022. And I want to start with the Frank Church Meet the Press excerpt. And Frank Church, like I said, is an interesting guy. One of the Richie boys, you know, Army intelligence, et cetera, et cetera. More to say on that. He was I don't know. Well, more on that maybe later. But he has, you know, so the reason that I say, you know, he trained at Camp Ritchie as one of the Ritchie boys. That's you can find that on Wikipedia. If you listen to what he says in the Meet the Press clip and you understand sort of what was going on during the church committee hearings, you know, he's in a good position to know. He's, you know, someone who knows wherever he speaks. And so with that sort of background in mind, give this a listen. Go ahead, please.
Senator, let me follow up by asking, do you think that the CIA and military intelligence agencies and the FBI have used the emergency provisions, both in law and by emergency agency, the Federal Preparedness Agency it's called now, to have contingency plans which threaten the liberty of American citizens?
Mr. Rowan, in due course, the committee will pass judgment on those questions. I'm not going to preguess the committee or prematurely attempt to pass judgment on this program. But let me tell you this. In the need to develop a capacity to know what potential enemies are doing, the United States government has perfected a technological capability that enables us to monitor the messages that go through the air. These messages are between ships at sea. They could be between units, military units in the field. We have a very extensive capability of intercepting messages wherever they may be in the airwaves. Now, that is necessary and important to the United States as we look abroad at enemies or potential enemies. We must know. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. And no American would have any privacy left, such as the capability to monitor everything, telephone conversations, telegrams, it doesn't matter. There would be no place to hide if this government ever became a tyranny. If a dictator ever took charge in this country, the technological capacity that the intelligence community has given the government could enable it to impose total tyranny. And there would be no way to fight back, because the most careful effort to combine together in resistance to the government, no matter how privately it was done, is within the reach of the government to know. Such is the capability of this technology. Now, why is this investigation important? I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to see this country ever go across the bridge. I know the capacity that is there to make tyranny total in America. And we must see to it that this agency and all agencies that possess this technology operate within the law and under proper supervision so that we never cross over that abyss. That's the abyss from which there is no return.
There you go. And again, you know, this is a guy who knows whereof he speaks. He's not guessing. He's been trained in the technology that he is talking about. And so where have we gone from there to here? I mean, you know, we hear about Edward Snowden and other folks, but I'm wondering why why haven't we heard more about Dennis Montgomery's trove, you know, whistleblower Dennis Montgomery? And Larry Klayman was supposed to be spearheading the legal representation, right, for Dennis Montgomery, the only guy who successfully sued the NSA, right, something like that. And yet Dennis Montgomery has disappeared. What's going on there? I'm not saying literally disappeared, but the story that has disappeared from public view. Why is that? You know, Dennis Montgomery was a guy who specifically said, you know, this information seems to, you know, appears to indicate that agencies are spying on, well, folks like Frank Church, judges, congressmen, senators, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So where are we now? Anyway, what is your point in saying that? Well, getting back to the NBC News article that I mentioned from 2017, CAR says the United States has not yet replied to trace requests for the weapon. The weapon, you know, these guys are pictured with one, same lot number, similar serial number, seems to suggest they were part of the same supply chain. Kiesler Police Supply Company, which CAR says brokered the anti-tank missile sale to the U.S. military, declined to comment. Based on the anti-tank missile tube, you know, and this is, I mean, again, this, you know, I said the Albert Hakim of our day. Bill Moyers did the Secret Government, the Constitution in Crisis. That was, when was that published? As, you know, a PBS documentary on the Iran-Contra scandal. That was back in the same time. That was, I believe it was 1987. So again, this is an unbroken thread. Continuing. Based on the anti-tank missile tube found in Ramadi and other examples of weapons purchased by U.S. suppliers from European manufacturers. And again, you know, not to keep diverting, but, you know, the Parkland stuff is obviously in the headlines with the trial the last couple of weeks, and CIA, you know, Century International Arms in Florida and other places. A couple of those kids, the forget the names of them, were attending school at Parkland. What a curious coincidence. And they're one of their, I think it was one of the machine pistols in one of the Paris attacks, Strategy of Tension episodes, traced back to Century International Arms, which is a known CIA arms dealer. What a curious coincidence that Gladio, you know, arms traffickers and Strategy of Tension episodes involving family members of CIA arms traffickers seem to collide. What a strange coincidence. So continuing, CIR says there is evidence that many weapons obtained by various Syrian rebel groups supported by the U.S. were diverted to ISIS. When asked to comment on U.S. purchase arms potentially ending up in the hands of ISIS, Eric Pahone, a spokesman for the Department of Defense, said, quote, any alleged misuse or diversion of U.S. support, any alleged misuse, anyway, talk about sophistry, will be taken seriously. and lead to the possible curtailment of support if verified. I mean, wow. Talk about disclaimer after disclaimer after disclaimer. Pajon added that he had not seen the CAR report. But then there's this. Getting to the punchline here. The CIA ran a covert program for arming some rebel groups fighting Syrian regime forces until the Trump administration reportedly axed it in July. U.S. government and military officials have declined to confirm the existence of the CIA program on the record, though President Donald Trump tweeted about it this year. So, the CIA ran a covert program for arming some rebel groups. You're talking about the Afghan Mujahideen, which became the Taliban, which became Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, Lashkar-e-Taiba, Al-Nusra, ISIS, etc. Oh, no, this is a different... Oh, okay, got it. CIA ran a covert program for arming some rebel groups fighting Syrian regime forces until... You know, and so... In the midst of all of this, also, there was the, thanks to Cheryl Atkinson, you know, we heard about the so-called Fast and Furious gun walking scandal that actually turned into the grenade walking scandal that was a multi-administration scandal. And it's not so much about giving guns to drug dealers in foreign countries so that we can find their nest as much as it is about, you know, Gladio caches, secret caches of weapons in places that, you know, can be used for strategy of tension events, just like has always been the MO. So we had that, thanks to Cheryl Atkinson, that was revealed, which again is a continuation of the unbroken thread. But you know what? I'm glad this doesn't happen anymore. I mentioned Rand and the telegraphing. Let me just put this together real fast, then we'll go to the phones. The CIA, you know, again, this is NBC News, this article that I mentioned from back in 2017, obviously. ISIS weapons arsenal included some purchased by the U.S. government. And again, according to Conflict Armament Research, their independent arms tracking organization, their report, tracking, I believe it was from 2014 to 2017. Again, upwards of 75% of the materiel found in ISIS enclaves that were taken was stamped property of the United States government or came through Department of Defense channels. So the CIA ran a covert program for arming some rebel groups fighting Syrian regime forces. The NBC News article reads, now let's go over to Rand Corporation and see under asymmetric warfare what we can see. I'm just going to read the titles of some of these essays, commentaries, monographs, etc. Let's see. Civilian casualties, lessons from the battle for Raqqa. Speaking of Syria, how about this one? Could insurgency offer Ukraine a decisive edge? Well, let me get to the better, though. Speaking of arming rebels, let's see. Armed resistance in Ukraine. How about that? Rand senior political scientist Stephen J. Flanagan discusses the concept of a state-organized national resistance movement in Ukraine. Does that include arming rebels, quote-unquote? What the invasion of Ukraine might teach us about a potential Taiwan crisis. How about this one? Commentary, February 28, 2022. What kind of resistance can Ukraine mount? The atomization of political violence. That's another one. How about this one? The missing, irregular half of great power competition. U.S. military must learn to embrace a new framework for understanding competition through the lens of its current approaches to traditional and irregular warfare. And there's more. Uh, think there was one more, wasn't there? Anyway, you get the point. Arming, you know, armed resistance in Ukraine. March 29, 2022. RAND senior political scientist Stephen J. Flanagan discusses the concept. Armed resistance. So this practice continues on. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And we keep sending our sons and now daughters, which I don't agree with personally. I think that's a mistake, huge mistake. But using, allowing our children to be cannon fodder, as, you know, guys like Henry Kissinger might say, or, you know, folks like Bertrand Russell have said, this is a great way to reduce the population. I mean, just look at R.J. Rummel's death by government. What a fantastic way to kill off hundreds of millions of people worldwide. But now it's limited war, right, Henry Kissinger? So we don't kill off as many, so we have to find new and inventive and creative ways to do it, right, Bill Gates? I just find it astonishing that this has not changed. This practice has, it's an unbroken thread, keeps happening over and over and over, and yet greed apparently and apathy conspire against our youth, our posterity, and we keep sending these people off. Parents condone it. I don't understand. I understand defense. I understand that. But this is not defense. There's nothing defensive about this. This is hegemonic. This is the problem is being created. And so getting back, just to finish this, we'll go to the phones. The point of playing the Frank Church clip is you can see the ratcheting up of the national security apparatus. When you combine these two things, you have to have the kind of total information awareness for full spectrum dominance that Frank Church talked about in that 1975 Meet the Press clip we played, so that you can manage the theater. You can create the opposition in precisely the fashion that Brzezinski admitted in 1997 that had been done in 1979 and created the Afghan Mujahideen as a pretext to luring the Soviets into the Afghan trap, as he put it. And then managing the theater. You create the enemy, then you say, we have to do this thing, but you really don't. You created the problem. And you just keep ratcheting that up. So, you know, ISIS has weapons stamped property of the United States government. Oh, yeah, and remember the story about the fancy Toyota trucks, too? All those fancy brand-new Toyota trucks. Where does this come from? How are they trained to manage the financial flow, and how are the financial networks that allow this to continue, how are those not shut down? It's astonishing, isn't it? But and then there's the whole story of the rat lines and other things, trafficking of guns and drugs and people. That's a whole different discussion. So hopefully that makes sense. What Frank Church said is essential to the ratcheting up of the national security state and the rise of the market security state, as Patrick Porter talked about, you know, in that great piece, Soldiers Fighting Alone, 2015 piece, The Wars of the Market Security State. Anyway, let's go to the phones and grab John in Tennessee. Wait, yeah. We're running into a break. I apologize for that.
Okay. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
Have we got a minute before the break?
I think so.
Okay. Well, you know, the Frank Church conversation that you played, 1975, basically admitting that there's no place to hide. I hear the music.
Yeah. I apologize for that. I did
not. Right.
Yeah. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Looking during the break, you know, Patrick Porter's piece, Soldiers Fighting Alone, The Wars of the Market Security State, used to be, you could find it, it was published in Parameters, the Army War College's quarterly publication, volume 45, number 3. You could find it over at the Army War College. And for some reason, it's not there. Maybe they're running short on server space. Anyway. Go ahead, John.
Okay. 1975, so 47 years since Frank Church stated that there's nowhere to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, everything that we do is known to them if they choose to know it. Mm-hmm. Can you only begin to imagine the technology that exists now that did not exist then?
Yeah.
Even in your own home. There's no cameras in your home, but is a technology there to actually, you have absolutely no privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, I know it sounds outrageous, Chris. It sounds like something that's out of a 2022 Hitchcock movie on steroids. But
well,
I think it's there.
To sort of hit us right squarely in the face, people, the cowardly, I would say, well, you know, nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Not exactly so. You know, when you look at the things that have been published in recent years about sort of targeting otherwise law-abiding Americans who maybe hold a view that someone finds objectionable, we've seen lots of strange things. I won't even go into the specifics. You and I know, obviously, listeners, we all kind of know. But, you know, put that together, what's been put out by the DOJ, by the FBI, by some of the other alphabet soups about targeting Americans, put that together with the 110,000 Japanese folks who were rounded up and interned back in 1942, for example. Because you know what, they might be a threat. And so I think it was around $400 million that was also confiscated from them in personal property, which amounts to about $5 billion today, I think. And, you know, they were put in what are referred to by some folks as concentration camps. That happened virtually overnight.
Well, nothing to hide, nothing to fear, okay? Unless these people are so diabolical and so given over to unclean desires, that if there's nothing to hide, well then what difference does modesty make when it comes to a husband and wife? If there is no ability, if everything is known, and I believe they have the technology that we're not aware of, through LED light bulbs, paint on the wall, so-called satellites that I believe are nothing more than hanging from balloons, because I don't believe we're on a spinning ball flying through a vacuum, that they're able to actually, look, you and I have both seen things that could peer through walls. Now, you've seen vague images, but that's the technology they're revealing. What is in existence? And isn't it interesting that about the time they were talking about TIA, I stumbled across this thing at Washington State University on the Research Channel, where this entomologist or a epidemiologist, whatever you call that field of science, was going crazy because we had finally reached the stage where everything on Earth, and in his words, basically, every seed, every piece of fruit, every person, every individual object, we had the ability to give it its own unique identification number. So basically, total information awareness became totally possible. Mm-hmm. And if you've got the ability, are you not going to use it? Are you not going to do a little bit of practice?
Yeah.
You know, I know it sounds like doom and gloom. If you really knew what was going on, I don't think you would even want to continue to live your life if you had.
Well, here's another example. There's a video that you can still find on YouTube. It was a talk at the Walter Capp Center back in 2008, featuring veteran FBI staff attorney Colleen Rowley, who talked about what happened on September 11, and she talks about sort of the prelude to it, and they had all this ethical stuff, all these ethics, and to me, if you have to sort of externally insert or inject the ethics and morality and stuff into people, that's your first problem. But she talks about that, and then she says, but then on September 11, I remember all that went out the window, and so then what happens? Anyway, we'll talk more when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
I actually want to play maybe 90 seconds of the Colleen Rowley interview, just a little clip of it, and you know, maybe a little broader point, but this pertains directly to what we're talking about. Can we do that real quick, please?
Our FBI had 2 cases of drunken driving homicides with 8 involving agents. And so the director, Louis Free, mandated law enforcement ethics, which is a little bit different than the Office of Government Ethics. It was basic right and wrong stuff. And as it turns out, I had given a PowerPoint ethics presentation to our office a week before 9/11. And there were a couple of slides in that ethics presentation, one of which is, we owe our highest loyalty to the U.S. Constitution, never say or do anything to prevent institutional embarrassment. Remember, your highest loyalty is to the Constitution. That was one, and then there was another one, do not puff, shade, skew, massage, tailor, firm up, or otherwise, exaggerate the facts. And both of those were being violated just really essentially within days of us having it. And I wasn't the only one to give that PowerPoint. That was given nationwide a week before 9/11.
So essentially what you're saying is the PowerPoint presentation, the ethics, went out the window when all of this stuff happened.
Yeah, and of course, we were talking before this that we can talk and talk and talk about ethics, but honestly, it's the application, it's living through this, it's really confronting the hard dilemma. And that, there's a perfect example. I have to even admit, when I was pressing this PowerPoint, I wasn't taking it all that seriously. I was reading it. You know, do not puff, shade, skew. Okay, folks, do not puff, shade, skew. I was kind of reading it. Mm-hmm. The week after, when I finally saw that, you know, we were in flagrant violation, is when it hit me. And of course, now I've got it memorized. It's part of my being. But
tell us.
So, here's the point that I want to make with this. You know, I think of Mike Rowe talking about how safety training is probably what makes us more unsafe than anything. It anesthetizes people to the dangers. It puts you to sleep. You go through this stuff over and over and over. I think this is the same kind of thing, and I think the cyberneticians know this, and I think this is why we have this kind of training. She, by her own admission, says it was like it didn't exist. They have this training, and it completely desensitizes them to the issues, and there you go. There's the reality of, for example, what Mike Rowe said on safety training.
I didn't hear any of the recording. Apparently it muted,
oh, okay.
But I get the gist. I get the gist, you know. And when we point this out, Chris, we're called fear mongers. When really all I'm doing, I can't speak for you, but all I'm doing is trying to let people know what the intent is, you know, because information, man, information. So when we see this coming, the whole idea of absolutely no privacy. We're under the illusion that we've got, you know, this Fourth Amendment, but yet walking in your house, stepping into the shower, walking literally in the woods, and nature calls, there's nothing, I believe, that these people aren't aware of if they choose to type in your, you know, your walking ISP address. You know, mm-hmm. Everyone's got a phone. If you don't have a phone, what have they done throughout time with vaccinations? What are they capable of doing? You know, it's their everything that Satan does, he mimics
and
God.
A
God
lot
is
of
omniscient.
That, yeah, a lot of that, you know, the thing, the device that people carry around with them, the data that you're talking about, a lot of that is referred to as telemetry data. So it's, again, it's not a secret. And, you know, all of the apps that come out that want permission to do this or permission to do that, to listen on your microphone or watch on your camera. And
access
again,
to contacts.
I mean,
well, that's just so it can dial when I ask it to dial. Well, it
right.
may be, but it may be that they can access it for any reason that they want as well, and give
yeah.
it to any, you know. And companies, Chris, are falling in line with it. I've worked mm-hmm. for a company for many years that when we came to tablets or computers in the truck, they used apps and were trying to force us into putting them on our phones and on their
mm-hmm.
tablets. And
yeah,
well, this dummy truck driver in Tennessee, did you bother to look at the who created it and the permissions that they're requesting and why they
right.
might want them? And
yeah.
why is it free? If it's so good, why are they giving it to you?
Companies,
you know, nothing,
like U-Haul.
You don't get anything for free.
Yeah, companies like U-Haul are encouraging, requiring in some cases. Well, actually, you have to use their app as an employee. You use their app to take pictures, for example, of a customer's driver's license. And so if it's your phone, you're taking a picture of someone's driver's license with your phone. Oh, but the app encrypts the picture and you can't do anything bad with it. And who knows where that goes? If you have one of the phones that U-Haul provides, same thing, obviously. It takes a picture. And so this is just being normalized. It's perfectly normal.
You know, we're so quick to give it up, you know. Here's a for instance. A couple of years ago, I came to a, stop in the middle of the daylight, small Tennessee town on my way to the house, coming home from work. And there's a line of 20 or so vehicles, and a clearly BHP officer from the other side of the border with a very heavy Spanish accent wants my driver's license and registration. So I asked him why. Well, we're just doing a check. I said, well, I am who I am. My registration, you can look at my plate. The plate's current. Well, I didn't give it to him, and he let me go. Mm-hmm. But I got to the house, and my son was in front of me. I didn't know it. We're at my in-laws. He was in front of me, and he got stopped, and he was upset as I was. And when it was brought up to my in-laws, it's like, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to hide. They're probably trying mm-hmm. just to catch a dope dealer. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, do you close the door when you use the bathroom? Mm-hmm. Well, of course. I said, why? You're not doing anything wrong. In fact, everyone on earth does the same thing you do. Why are you closing the door? You've got nothing to hide. You're not doing anything mm-hmm. wrong. Well, I want my privacy. I said, absolutely. That's why I'm upset. We have lost our privacy. And I don't want to belabor it, Chris, but people are so quick to give it up. And when you tell them, hey, you're not doing anything wrong.
So here's another comply. Aspect. You know, you read these articles. I think this gets back to, I think it was John Whitehead's article that I mentioned that Larry sent me, The American Kleptocracy, A Government of Liars, Thieves, and Lawbreakers. I think it was that one that mentions dragnet operations, FBI dragnet operations, for example, that catch in the net law-abiding folks. It was the, phones. Phones to the mafia. I'll find the spot, and maybe I'll read that tomorrow. But basically, the FBI markets these phones that are supposed to be for, I think it was a mafia contingent, specifically so they can sort of spy on these folks, and other people obviously bought the phones. So, A, you have the people who are not part of the dragnet who are getting caught up in the dragnet, and B, you also have, as we've heard through all of the, you know, Bill Binney disclosures and folks like that, you know, sure, there are maybe folks we want to look at, like Frank Church was saying, but then what about the folks that are, you know, secondary and tertiary contacts or whatever that get pulled in as a result of communication that's not sinister or nefarious? And so getting back to what I said about what happened to those 110,000 Japanese folks in 1942, you have nothing to hide. You have nothing to fear, but somebody involved in something that you don't even know about happens to call the place you work or whatever. You have some communication with that person, and suddenly your information is gathered up and you are swept up in some dragnet operation. Maybe you need to be detained for a while without the assistance of counsel, and we just need to look at you for a while to make sure that you're not a threat. That's
well,
the danger.
What would you think if I told you that there are buildings all over this country and all over the world where the building is actually, for lack of a better term, alive? Mm-hmm. The building is breathing. The building stores all information. My son was involved when he was a journeyman bricklayer in a building of a IRS building in Nashville. But it was unoccupied. It was five stories, unoccupied. Took up just the building, probably 5 acres. And he came home and he said, Dad, it's alive. Mm-hmm. The building is alive. Every financial transaction in the Southeast is recorded in that building.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. You know, it has a perfect memory. It's like the I'll go back a little bit. It's kind of like the Argus imaging system, the autonomous real-time, mm-hmm. ground, ubiquitous surveillance imaging system.
Yeah.
The Yep. This thing that's able to store all information on 15 square miles at the same time and pull it up whenever they want forever.
Yeah. And so not say, not just
Mr.
that,
Hinckley,
but
where were you?
Yeah. Not just that, but from 1,000 different camera angles.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where were you 25 years ago, Chris Hinckley? I don't know. Yeah. Well, here, let me show you, Mr. Hinckley.
Yeah.
Is this you?
Yep.
That's all knowing, all powerful, all seeing, omnipresent. That's man's creation of God. Argus is kind of like this Frankenstein monster. It's alive, but it's a machine, but it's alive. And that's their desire for them to do to everyone that they allow to live. They want to merge you into that system.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave it at that. I didn't mean to take you off on a tangent. But that's the day we're in. So, again,
Absolutely.
Let me end by saying this. Make sure you know who Jesus Christ is. Don't wait too long. Make things right.
Yeah.
There is a way to escape. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, John. Much appreciated. As always. Well, as one friend put it, know who your God is. And he thought, you know, he we were talking about it. He said, maybe, and I've mentioned this before, but, you know, he said, maybe I should say, know who God is. No. I think you said it right. Know who your God is. And that should create a provocative introspection. You know, speaking of what John was talking about, again, you know, Ray Kurzweil is probably the foremost, you know, futurist who wrote about this 20 plus years ago when in 1999, The Age of Spiritual Machines was published, and that's what he was talking about in Chapter 11. I refer to it often, 2029. This is what you can expect by 2029. How did he know 30 years into the future this would be? And now we have, you know, we play that clip from Scott Klosowski saying, we are, you know, most people are not comfortable with it, but we're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables, and that's what's happening. What a surprise. And we're seeing it. Dexcom G6 is already outdated, and you can just stick that stuff right in you instead of having these two things. Why not just have one thing? That's where it's headed. What a coincidence. The excerpt, and we go back to the phones in a second, that I was talking about, it was John Whitehead's article, The American Kleptocracy, A Government of Liars, Thieves, and Lawbreakers. So he says, you know, this is not an agency that appears to understand, let alone respect, the limits of the Constitution. For instance, the FBI has secretly has been secretly carrying out an entrapment scheme. And these are all linked. He's not guessing. So that's linked to a Washington Post article from last June. FBI app arrests Australia crime. Anyway, for instance, the FBI has been secretly carrying out an entrapment scheme in which it used a front company, Anom, A-N-O-M, to sell purportedly hack-proof phones to organized crime syndicates and then use those phones to spy on them as they planned illegal drug shipments, plotted robberies, and put out contracts for killings using these booby-trapped phones, undoubtedly suborning folks or suborning them further in the process and, you know, conscripting them to COINTELPRO and informant efforts and so forth. I digress. Continuing, John Whitehead writes, all told, the FBI intercepted 27 million messages over the course of 18 months. What this means is that the FBI was also illegally spying on individuals using those encrypted phones who may not have been involved in any criminal activity whatsoever. And, you know, he continues, even reading a newspaper article is now enough to get you flagged for surveillance by the FBI, and that's linked to a Politico article. The agency served a subpoena on USA Today Gannett to provide the internet addresses and mobile phone information for everyone who read a news story online on a particular day and time about the deadly shooting of FBI agents. This is the danger of allowing the government to carry out a widespread surveillance, sting, and entrapment operations using dubious tactics that sidestep the rule of law. We the people become suspects and potential criminals. while government agents empowered to fight crime using all means at their disposal become indistinguishable from the corrupt forces they seek to vanquish. And so he goes on, you know, is it a kleptocracy, a government ruled by thieves? Is it a kakistocracy, government ruled by unprincipled career politicians, corporations, and thieves that panders to the worst vices in our nature and has little regard for the rights of American citizens? Or have we gone straight to an idiocracy? And he, you know, that thought is concluded. This certainly isn't a constitutional republic, however, whatever the case. So, I mean, this is the danger. And this is where we find ourselves. Everyone is considered, that's the inversion of the common law. That's back to the feudal system where instead of, you know, innocent until proven guilty, you are presumed guilty until proven innocent. Back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Wow, you ran through a lot of stuff since I've been on hold. You had asked last hour, I guess, or maybe earlier this hour about the Dennis Montgomery stuff. And
yeah,
whatever to wonder about that guy. I mean, I remember digging into that, and then, you know, I don't know what the heck happened with Mike Lindell and the reporter that Rick Wiles sent into the Mike Lindell conference or whatever, symposium on voter fraud. He claimed it was infiltrated by what was it, Antifa, and then that guy got fired. I think he's kind of Puerto Rican looking, but I can't remember his name right now. But anyway, it's just a big snowball of who knows what the heck to think, you know, when you start digging into it.
Yep.
And Larry Klayman, of course, was one of the attorneys that William Binney had. And when you said that Dennis Montgomery was the only guy to ever win a case against unless that's the same case William Binney is talking about, he won a case against the NSA, supposedly. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing, to me, starts to smell like a steam valve, because all this time, for 25 years now, I have had witnesses and evidence and damage from the domestic surveillance program that goes back at least 4 to 5 years prior to the Patriot Act, which supposedly made all this crap legal, right? Mm-hmm. And so what you're talking about with it, and I guess it's been a while since I looked at it up, but there's a Wikipedia article. It's spelled ARGUS-IS, Argus-IS.
Yep.
The Autonomous Real-Time Ground Ubiquitous Surveillance Imaging System.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this works is these phones, since at least 3G, as I call them, hashtag voluntary ankle bracelets. If you want to look at my hashtag on that, it shows up on social media in a few places. But I'll try to get that hashtag going because that's what they are. And buried in all these agreements, there's a documentary called We Live in Public, and then there's another one, Terms and Conditions, I think. In one of those, the software company jokingly puts in their terms and conditions that by using their software, you surrender your most precious soul to Satan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave it in there for 6 days, and nobody objects to it because nobody reads it. Nobody finds out.
Yeah.
Buried in the software, you're giving them access to whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because it doesn't really matter because it's a software-defined radio, they can push out these software updates to modify the dang thing. And what you were talking about earlier, that they're putting out these phones that to try to track the mafia, it's kind of irrelevant if they're all software-defined radios since at least 2007. I believe, sift for things like your voice print, and the cell phone can locate all devices within a certain number of feet, and that device fingerprint that can be used to associate with the target, and it all gets sifted and sorted into the X key score file, which is basically your, file that ends up in the fusion centers and all the shared data feeds that sort of William Binney and Mark Klein blew the whistle on. And it took me years before I finally heard William Binney at a law school in Quebec, where he got something called the Allard Prize, and he just casually mentions this. And I have to wonder about his mental state because of his diabetes, if he's getting kind of Alzheimer's dementia. In that speech, he could not remember the name of Naris and Verrant, the sessionizers. But he talks about how when he was the director of that technical division, which was called the World Technical Division, in the mid to late 90s, they were working on these sessionizers. The software, as they developed it, was basically being handed off to Israel. Israel then repackaged it, rebranded it, sold it back through Boeing, which you think, well, that's an aircraft company. No, they do a lot of computers. Naris brand sessionizers were bought by Director Clapper, which Benny jokingly says was a history professor, and how he got to become the Director of National Intelligence as a history professor. But he supposedly was over top.
It's like how a peanut farmer becomes president.
Well, yeah, and a nuclear engineer. Right. Carter was supposedly had a degree in that.
Right.
But he buys
let's
back
also,
his own,
let's also not
buys back his own
that,
software.
Yeah, let's also not forget that, speaking of the Argus IS stuff, drone gigapixel imaging and surveillance stuff, for example, that Ash Carter created the SCO, the Strategic Capabilities Office, to retrofit everything, like warheads and stuff that are already in existence with that capability.
Well, this dovetails. The data is all meshed as a mesh network, I guess. The Argus can use air assets along with the ground-based cell phone cameras, and it actually now goes to a 36 square mile area beyond, I guess, what was originally designed with the cell phones, a 15 square mile area. So it can stitch together all those cameras and all that data to be near real-time monitored. I saw this depicted on a news show, and they actually showed birds flying over top of people's target heads that were walking across the street. They would see down to that resolution.
Yeah.
But I hear the music.
That's it.
Was that the whole show? Darn.
That's it.
Wow.
Apologize to Lynn and Quince. Thank you, Mike. Much appreciated as always. If you're not familiar, folks, look up gigapixel. What is a gigapixel? 1 billion pixels. That's a lot of pixels. And anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
One step closer to free college. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The Department of Education announced another $3.9 billion in student loan cancellation yesterday. That brings Biden's student loan cancellation total to $32 billion in less than 2 years. Let's be honest, though. It's not loan forgiveness or debt cancellation. It is handouts of tax money to a privileged few. I never took a single college credit. I own my house and 3 cars, and I've never been unemployed. I have paid taxes to the federal government for 35 years. It is my money that was loaned out. Now it is my money Biden says doesn't have to be paid back. I didn't sign the loan paperwork. I didn't get the benefits of education. I shouldn't have to pay for it. This is the worst face slap to the working class that I've ever seen. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem Parabellum.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.